was really bad.
Terrible.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, special edition. I'm Bob.
I'm Guy.
I'm Sean.
And as you can tell, normal hosts Patrick and Tom are not here. Why? Because this is a weird special episode we're doing just for fucking shits and giggles. This is a Star Wars Axe to Grind because there's a new Star Wars movie coming out and we're excited about it. And we attempted. So did I tell you guys this backstory?
Yeah. I think you told me a little bit.
So basically, I was like, yo, let's record like a quick 20-minute thing about Star Wars shit and like talk about how Star Wars used to be the biggest deal in hardcore and like how many people you'd see with Rebel Alliance tattoos and all this nonsense, and it was cool, and now it's just like mass culture and it's cool, and just like gauge it. What I really poor timing on my part, because it was 1 a.m. Poor Tom had worked all day, like 18 hours, and was like, I don't know. And I'm like, no, come on, let's do it. Patrick was like, all right. He was trying to wave it off, but I kind of forced ahead, and it was fine. Maybe we'll throw it on Patreon or something for everybody. But I wanted to get two of my favorite people who are also very, very big Star Wars fans in the room to do this one, because what we're going to discuss today is a running feud. Is that an accurate way to portray it?
I mean, I guess it's been going on for like however long it's been. Like
at least a year.
At least 2 years.
2 years. And,
it's been, it's not a feud. Like, we don't hate each other.
No. You don't personally hate each other, but you hate each other's opinion on this one thing,
yes,
correct?
100%.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, okay. So we'll be getting to that momentarily, but a quick shout out to our sponsors, Closed Casket Activities, Run for Cover Records, and Death Wish Inc. Go to their respective websites, enter the promo code
Axe to Grind,
and you're going to want to
spell it out.
Thank you, everybody. Guys, what are your favorite Star Wars movies in order? Sean, start us off.
All right, so I guess my list would be A New Hope, Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back, Rogue One, Last Jedi, Solo, Force Awakens, Revenge of the Sith, Phantom Menace, and Attack of the Clones. It's kind of like a little
That's
bit of a weird
standard.
List.
Well, I mean, let me think. Okay.
People generally put Empire at the top.
That's true. So you put Empire at the bottom of your original trilogy.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk on that. Guy, your list.
Mine's Empire,
mm-hmm.
Rogue One,
mm-hmm.
A New Hope, Return of the Jedi, prequels in order from the last one to the first one.
Yes, and then, reverse order, right.
Solo, and what's that other movie? The other two.
Force Awakens.
And then Last Jedi is like
at the very bottom.
If there was like Ewok movies before that, the
Caravan of Courage.
Ewok movies are
incredible. Holiday special before The Last Jedi. like whatever, Spaceballs before The Last
Spaceballs
Jedi.
Spaceballs is actually
it's a great movie.
We should put Spaceballs in this rating at some point because it's quite good. Yeah. Sean.
Yes.
Is putting the prequels over Solo a hot take?
I wouldn't say it's a hot take, considering Solo, I think, got kind of a raw deal in all this.
Yeah.
Because I put it under Last Jedi, but like,
it's
I could go
better.
Back and forth between the two, because Solo is just kind of a fun movie.
But he put the prequels over Solo.
Yeah,
that's a bad take.
Okay,
that's
so we're gonna get into this, because he takes quite offense with you putting Last Jedi over just about anything.
Right.
Let's give your background real quick. Both you guys have known each other for 20-something years.
Something like
undetermined
that.
Amount of time. Yeah.
a time before now, and give the heartwarming tale that you were telling that like then Sean came in and immediately was like, "I know you're just going to be a fucking asshole." So,
I've known Sean for whatever. We lived like across the street from each other in Orly Beach. That's why he's under his name. He goes like by Obsu or something.
Yeah, your Instagram handle, OBSU.
Yeah, it was
talented artist. Check
given to me by bandmate Mackenzie. Orly Beach at Sean Urie, and I kind of been going by that ever since.
It's yeah. But so we used to like, me and Sean were the oldest boys in our family, and we were nerds.
Yeah, weird nerds.
Weird nerds. And our brothers were like cool surfer bros.
Yeah.
I mean, we could surf probably better than our brothers. But like,
you guys were the weird nerds and they were the surfer bros. So
yeah. We chose to, like, you know.
Both with like aspirations of modeling, even though one of them was successful at it and the other one wasn't. But they had a similar kind of Zoolander kind of vibe.
Yeah. Anyway. Well,
this is the way, right?
Yeah, this is the way. Me and Sean used to, like, you know, like, make board games out of micro machines with Star Wars stuff. Or
before you could get this sort before, of thing
yeah,
anywhere.
We used to read the, you know, the all of the books.
All the EU.
Oh, my gosh.
There was, like, this weird bookstore that was down the street from us. It just seemed to have, like, all these paperbacks. So we would get, like, you know.
Like, Ben Pages or something it was called? Or
yeah, I can't remember. But it was, like, a used bookstore, and they had all these, like, Star Wars paperback books. So we would get, like, you know, the Tales from Jabba's Palace was cool. Tales from the Bounty Hunters was cool. Mm-hmm. I really liked the Han Solo trilogy.
I read the novelization of the three books, because of the three movies, original mm-hmm. or trilogy, because like I still can barely read. and
but
like that
having the movie as the guide,
having the movie as the guide, I was like, oh, I sort of get this.
So, you know, knowing you both now for some time, I've never seen a confrontation, a schism like this one. There's still a lot of love.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But when it comes up, everything else is derailed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Alex, for a long time, because I really enjoy it, I enjoy the conversation so much, but she'll shoot this looks like, fuck. Please don't. That's Sean's significant other. Shout out, Alex. But let's talk about The Last Jedi. Wait. Sean, what do you think of The Last Jedi?
I like it. I think it's a good movie. I think that hating it is a crazy opinion. I think not liking it is a good opinion. I can understand somebody not liking it. Like, you can not like anything.
Right.
But to like hate it and be offended by it and mad at Rian Johnson and like wishing him death and
I don't wish anybody death.
Like, these kind of opinions are absolutely crazy to me watching this movie, because I've seen way worse movies, and I like way worse movies, and I don't know, I just think it's people get too crazy about this movie, I think.
Okay.
Listen, I just want to say, I don't hate Rian Johnson, I don't wish anybody death, I'm not some weird incel fuck who hates women or anything.
No.
This movie is just terrible on, like, every level, and it does offend me. Like, I mean, I'll admit that, yes. That might be weird. It offends me that it's a movie. And this is coming from somebody who's watched it 45 times, maybe.
Have you watched it that much, Sean?
I don't watch this one as much as some of the other ones, just because it's so long. It's, like, not as easy to just dip into when, you know, you're bored.
Because it fucking sucks.
Yeah, well, it's a different thing. Like, I'm not going to watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy just whenever, but I love those movies.
I'll put those on. But those movies, I think, have such good rewatch. Whereas neither Force Awakens or The Last Jedi has the rewatch that I find in all of the other Star Wars movies.
I think Last Jedi has more than Force Awakens. My biggest problem with The Force Awakens is it's like, I mean, I liked it when it came out.
Yes.
And I
we all went and saw it in the theater how many times?
A million times. I saw that movie probably in every version you could see it in, like regular 3D, right. IMAX. I even went all the way to Philly to see it in
Franklin Institute.
In the Franklin Institute crazy IMAX. It's like a giant dome.
The old style dome IMAX.
Which was a horrible way to watch a movie because you can only watch one side of it.
And I went and saw that at 5 a.m., maybe 4:30 or something insane, because I was like, couldn't sleep. I was like, let me go see this. Why not? It was amazing. Yeah. It was terrible, but it was surreal. So.
But for
watched
me,
it in Florida too.
Yeah,
Florida. On vacation, went to a movie. I fell asleep.
It was just after being into Star Wars for my whole life, and then being pretty disappointed when the prequels came out. It was kind of a refreshing. It was a refreshing movie, but the more you go back to it and just kind of like look at how it is kind of a retread. And
the beat by beat hits of it being like A New Hope. Or
and off. the self-referential stuff, it gets kind of old. Yeah. But The Last Jedi, I think, even though The Last Jedi is a very meta movie in the way
it's not meta.
That it talk, it is meta.
It's what fucking
people's
dumb.
Problem is
no,
with
it's
it.
Not
is,
meta. It's dumb.
It
dude, they knock it over your head. Failure is just the reality. You're gonna fail. Everybody's gonna fail. They spend like the whole fucking movie going, everything's gonna fail. Just let it die. Fail, fail, fail. Well, kill everything that you love because it's gonna fail. Like the whole movie is like a psychopath's like.
This is where like, your reading of the movie is
no,
kind of incomplete.
My
and
because the movie's not
paying attention.
It's a
because
dumb movie.
It is a movie about failure, but okay. It's a movie about failure as a teacher where
nobody wants to see that. We have to live with that. So I have to live in failure.
Failure as a teacher. Continue.
Right. They say it in the movie. I mean, it's a line from Yoda where he says the greatest teacher failure is or something like that.
Worst and line Yoda ever had.
Pretty much each of the characters has their own failure in the movie to some extent. And by the end of the movie, they've all overcome that failure to become a better character.
Was Poe's failure that joke at the very beginning? Or?
Yeah, well, we'll get into that.
What failures did they have to get over? Like, they didn't get over any of their failures. The fucking movie ends with they failed.
Well, they failed, and they're in a bad position.
Yeah.
But that's
they're not doing good.
Setting up for the next movie. I mean, you don't want them to all have been successful and then they defeat the First Order in the second movie of a trilogy.
So failures. Let's talk about this.
Right.
What was Rey's failure?
Rey's failure was thinking that she could turn Kylo Ren to the light side.
True. And Kylo Ren's failure was...
Kylo Ren's failure...
That's a tough one because he's not on the hero side,
right?
Him trying to defeat Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, him trying to defeat Luke Skywalker and
he didn't fail. Luke died. It's fucking. He didn't fail. There was nobody there to.
Well, I mean, he's kind of failing at being Darth Vader, sort of. Yeah. And,
he's a failure as a human and a character. Like the whole thing is like the whole movie is just filled with like the worst people. Like I don't want to watch any of these people.
Right. I liked your opening salvo.
I'm sorry.
No, God, it's your opening salvo now. How somebody gets in an elevator with you and goes, "The Last Jedi, heard of it? What do you think?"
Don't watch it. Like, do whatever. Well, I mean, I guess watch it, but then like.
But why not?
Because it fucking sucks. Everything about it is bad. There's like nothing good. Like, so it starts off with like dumb like jokes trying to be funny and like light, and then they have like. I'm now my brain is like frying by how much I hate this movie.
Yeah. You can watch it on your face.
Yeah.
So you say don't watch it.
Yeah. It's bad because they spend the whole movie telling us like you're in a Star Wars movie, but everything that you love about Star Wars is old and stupid and you shouldn't like want to watch it. It's sort of like if you went to a pizzeria and you ordered a pizza and they gave you a salad. Instead, but you're like, I ordered a pizza. Like, yeah, I know that like this is gonna. I would have been happy if you put pepperoni on it or something else. But no, right. You just gave me a fucking salad with like old corn in it or something. And like, it's not. It smells weird. And
yeah, old corn salad. Nobody wants it.
Yeah, nobody wants any of that. And there's just like all these gross things, and it's not really. It's not like an adventure at all. There's not like a.
The story feels very disjointed to me as I watched it.
Yeah, it feels a lot like there's like a melodrama, like a high school teen melodrama where like kids are like learning about touching each other. I mean, there's a whole fucking mutual masturbation scene over the Force, like when they touch each other. And I'm literally grossed out by that, mm-hmm. like every time I see it.
All right, well, so we're going to pull back and give some structure to this episode. Here's where we're going to give each of us... And more, you guys. I'm good. I'm just narrating here today.
Sure.
Five strongest points. So this is for you too, Guy.
I have to get the strongest points.
Things that you'd say. Look, I find this irredeemable, but here's something that's not so bad. Sean, start us off, and we'll go back and forth.
I think it's the most beautifully cinematic depiction of the Force that we've seen so far, mm-hmm. especially like the scene where. Rey is just starting to learn from the Force from Luke, and they show like the birds dying and the waves and the way they explained how the Force is everything and it's like life and it's mm-hmm. like the power of everything. I think that's a really cool, interesting way that hasn't really been necessarily discussed in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Totally, 100% agree with Sean on that. Yeah. Like that's the strongest point of the whole movie is like anything where Rey is learning about the Force with Luke. Like that's like,
when she goes into the cave.
I think the Luke and Rey scenes together were very good. Yeah,
they're 100%. Like that's number one
for you. Okay.
Yeah,
Sean, number two.
Well, building on that, I guess the Luke story arc as being a teacher, I really liked where they went with that because they could have gone in a couple of different ways. But as far as movies go, I do like the trope of it's kind of a very kung fu movie type trope of the teacher that's a reluctant teacher and how Rey has to follow him up the stairs and is constantly knocking on his door. And, you know, sleeping outside of his hut. And then eventually he says, okay, I'm going to teach you some stuff. But, you know, it's going to be about how the Jedi needs to end or whatever. So I like that whole kind of, part of the movie. Just their training together and the wisdom he tells her through being kind of not wanting to be a teacher.
Yeah.
I'm going to just say that this, like, us both listing these, like, it's kind of unfair because like he's gonna pick the only five good things about the movie and say them like
and you're following the wake
and I'm in the but it's okay I mean right, so wanna, it's fine
you, you go you, ahead and then
no you go
we're,
ahead
we're doing snake style we're doing snake style so now you get the next two go
well or you could lead off with all the stuff you hate about it
oh, no that's a good idea. I'll do that this yeah no
if
no
you didn't notice there's a Jedi Sith dynamic going on too so you know
yeah no it's fine go keep going so but I agree I totally like that's number two yeah
right
that's good.
Depiction of the Force, the Luke and Rey stuff. What's three?
Continuing with Rey stuff, I think making her... I mean, we haven't seen the new one yet. We don't know what they're going to do with this. But as far as this movie says about how her parents are junk traders and she doesn't... Like they didn't go the obvious thing of having it be like Luke's daughter or Han's daughter or something like that. And they established that... she's basically nothing or worthless or something like that, but her power and the Force is what makes her important. And it kind of shows that anybody can be important and it doesn't have to be somebody that's, you know, the chosen one or something like that.
Right. So basically that someone outside of the Skywalker bloodlines has some relevance. Okay.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
Strong disagree. It was a really dumb move by Rian Johnson. He he took everything that. Well, anyway, I'll go back to the negative. I just don't agree with that point at all.
Yeah,
I don't think it's a strong point. Maybe there is only two good things about this movie. Like, I mean, like it's possible.
I think I tend to lean that I don't mind the decision.
Mm-hmm.
I think the way it was executed. In kind of a cavalier, kind of like throwaway, was indicative of ungentle storytelling. And I think that what they did with some of that, and then, and I don't want to step on anything going forward, but like the Supreme Leader Snoke, like, oh, he's gone. No backstory. He was this mysterious figure, and he's gone. And
right. I mean,
those are easy things people poke at.
I do,
but I respect the decision to say, "Hey, we're gonna." Because I liked your idea that it could be, and I think people who've only followed the main films, the original trilogy, maybe the Phantom, the prequel trilogy, and now the new one, they might only know the Jedi world as being pretty small.
Right.
When if you dive deeper into it, you know there's a lot more out there.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just think that. I thought the way they did it, I mean, it was kind of like pretty rough the way Kylo tells her, if that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was brisk, yeah.
But I think that she was, like, powerful, and I think that if you just made it like, oh, she's Obi-Wan's granddaughter.
Right.
Then you have to explain all this nonsense about, well, Obi-Wan was, like, you know, he had a relationship with this Mandalorian and the Clone Wars. Right, and
sure. Then it's like she's a half Mandalorian and you got this weird.
But this is also his like granddaughter. So then you have to explain this whole thing. If she's Han or Luke's daughter, you have to explain why these people that we love left her on Jakku under the care of Unkar Plutt.
Right.
Who's a horrible junk trader. So
who works under Nima?
Unless it's somebody that's bad or that we don't know or care about, it seems like. And these are things that if you want to find fault in this with The Last Jedi, I would again point to this is all stuff that was established in The Force Awakens. So, you know, Rian Johnson is doing something with what he was given and whether or not you like that or not. But I mean, these are threads that, like.
Well, he's snipping.
J.J. Abrams.
I think J.J. put the threads there, and I think a critical mistake was maybe they were dangling threads, and they may not have made the decisions, and quite often they don't. You know, they clearly here they didn't, and it was left in Rian Johnson's hands to go, hey, let's go this way with that. And what you're saying is you appreciate that decision.
Yeah.
And I there's a lot of criticism there, too, but that's okay. Yeah.
It's horrible. Okay.
All right. Number four.
I think that it gives good depth and growth to Poe, who was just kind of like a whatever character in The Force Awakens.
Yeah, bootleg Han.
I think, you know, people had a lot of problems with the Holdo plot line, but I think it really gave Poe kind of an arc that he didn't ever get in the first movie and made him more of an interesting character than just, you know, random rebel pilot.
Yeah.
It made him look dumb and impulsive and stupid and like,
well, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't need to see that in a movie. Like I want to see people kicking ass and it's an adventure movie and instead it's a melodrama about personal growth. I didn't go to see a personal growth film.
But I'm telling you, if you watch a movie that doesn't have any sort of character arc or growth, you're going to be watching a boring movie.
I was ready to watch plenty of character arc and growth. I just did not need to see it going to a fucking casino in Canto Vice.
Well, but that part, I don't include that as Poe's part. I think that's a Finn story. I don't like that.
Finn Poe.
I like the Poe storyline. How do you feel about the Holdo part? When they take it and they're doing the slow road chase.
Oh, I hate it. It's the most boring chase in the history of film.
If you had to ask me one of the stronger points, if I thought about it, I like the way that developed. Her and Poe's conflict. It felt a little unnatural, but it did make sense in the context of the characters. And I appreciate the respect that was earned, blah, blah, blah. But I agree. I actually think that's a strong point. Poe's character was developed more, and they gave him depth that I don't think was there in the backstories that have been told to this point.
Right.
So,
and I think that the slow-moving thing is interesting, and it's a different take because you always see ships going fast through space and
hyperspace. They're gone.
Yeah, and you could argue. I mean, I don't want to start getting down the road of, well, why didn't they light speed ahead and then light speed back? And you know, I mean, technical stuff you could pick apart with Star Wars, and if you want to go down that road, nothing in Star Wars makes sense.
Yeah, you have to have a certain level of suspension of disbelief.
Once none of us are picking any technical aspects out. Like,
well, you know, there's people that went crazy about the bombers in the beginning. Yeah, like, how did these bombers drop these bombs?
Yes, they had, like, weird magnet bombs. Nobody cares. Like,
did you guys see that whole thing about the Endor moon? Like, they're like, oh, if the Death Star blew up over Endor, it would have, like, been Ewok apocalypse.
Which would have been
extinction level event.
Yeah, yeah.
And the same thing with any of these ships crashing onto a planet. Right. Like, there's bay door. I guess they're
raised. We're having a pretty serious conversation, but we're trying to say, hey, don't take it too serious.
Yeah, these movies are basically a fairy tale in space, so all physics stuff is secondary, so don't get crazy about what a parsec is.
I don't even consider these sci-fi movies.
Like, no, I don't think they are. I
consider them fantasy adventure
more
films.
It's more King Arthur than it is, you know. Mm-hmm.
Any sort of hard sci. All right, you're number five for the strongest points of the movie.
Well, I just thought the filmography was incredible. The shots were great. It was... things were visually beautifully framed. Beautiful. The acting was great. The music and sound design is great. It was really just a beautiful looking movie, and with like stunning visuals. Like, the scene where Holdo light speeds through Snoke's ship, like,
great moment.
Seeing that in the theater, it was wild. Just the whole theater completely dead silent.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And I've never seen anything like that in a Star Wars movie before, so that was really impressive to me. And
I think there's a really moment there. Really
appreciate his eye
on that. I think there's a moment there with that exact scene where you realize, oh, this could happen, and you think about it, and then they do it, and that's pretty gnarly. So
it was a very anime the way they did something like that. It was like a very anime kind of thing.
It was that whole, like, all, it was the most beautiful Star Wars movie. I will admit that too.
I would argue Rogue One competes with it.
Rogue One competes with it.
I was just really thinking, like, the scene I was watching just last night to refresh, and the scene where you just see Leia with the, she's got this cowl of across her face during the Battle of Crait.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like, Ahch-To, everything on Ahch-To looked like great.
Ahch-To was great, yep. So. Now, there was, I don't think there was any visual letdowns overall in this movie. Yeah. So, all right, he gave 5 very strong points. Anything else that strikes that you're like, you know what, before I shred this movie?
Yeah. It very much makes sense, the movie. Like, I'll say that. It's like 100%, like, they went through to great lengths to make sure things added up, which, like, they didn't leave a lot of the plot holes. They made a huge point of not having plot holes. And, you know, the title crawl was good.
Yeah. So question for you. They don't have plot holes. We discussed that Force Awakens had some dangling storylines. Mm-hmm. I think, especially in serialized or episodic storytelling, especially in the first episode, which Force Awakens is the first of three, that's good. Yeah. You want dangling storylines for people to line up. So, like, what do we got? From Force Awakens, we had Rey's parentage.
I'm not counting those as plot holes.
Well, yeah, no. I'm pivoting because what I'm saying is, I don't know if Last Jedi left us with a ton of danglers.
It didn't. That's one of the to huge lead off of. With it.
You know what I mean? So they basically say, because I'm not sold that we're done on Rey's parentage. I don't know what it is.
Right.
But I'm not sold that we're done on it. But theoretically, if Last Jedi was it, Rey's parentage has been solved. Supreme Leader Snoke is dead, and we weren't really, his story and who he was wasn't advanced much.
No, not at all.
But I also don't care about
it. So. I would have liked to. They left out the Knights of Ren stuff.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Which they ignored. But that is, we know that's coming back. We've seen that in the trailer.
It's only coming back because everybody was like, what the fuck did you do, Ryan Johnson?
Right, you marketed this. But so I don't know if Last Jedi left us with many dangling storylines to follow into this movie.
Just the Resistance is in shambles. They have maybe 20 people left, and the First Order is now the ultimate power in the galaxy.
Right.
So now I mean, at the beginning of the movie, the Resistance seemed like they were kind of the underdogs, but still they had the backing of the
New Republic, right?
Yeah, galactic government.
Yeah.
So, you know, how are you going to have a movie with the protagonist is basically, you know, not the underdog?
Right. Well, so to me, I agree. But from the original trilogy, you have some story. You have the introduction of Vader and this whole thing in New Hope. The sequel comes, and if you think about it, New Hope could end, and that's it.
Yeah.
You could.
Yeah.
You could
be like, well, they designed that because they had no idea that they would get anything else.
Self-contained story, if you want it to be.
Yeah.
Empire leave because they know there's going to be leave you on the greatest cliffhanger of all time, right?
Like, yeah, possibly. Yeah.
Right there.
Still
with,
feeling complete, though.
Right. But think about it. Like, Vader, his father, lost his hand. Han's in carbonite. There's a lot of danglers from in the second episode. Prequels, there's a lot less. You know, the storytelling, I'll argue that I like the overall story of the prequels.
Me too.
But the execution's pretty poor. But when you think about it in episodes, you basically have the audience knows that Sheev Palpatine, Senator Palpatine, is a bad guy.
Right.
And it's sort of, you know, for lack of a better term, a whodunit, who is it kind of. Audience knows characters don't thread that you can follow through. Mm-hmm. There aren't a bunch of other storylines, like, you know, what's going on with Anakin and his story, but it's almost the fact that it was a look backwards had you kind of knowing and with that inkling of what happens next.
Right.
With Last Jedi into Rise of Skywalker, yeah, they're the underdog. First Order's after them. But that's, I don't know what else is following. Yeah,
the movie ends and it's like that's my, like, that's like my, one of my biggest problems with it is that it's like, fuck you, Star Wars. It's like, I just like, I don't get that.
From, all right.
Go.
I just ended Star Wars. I killed everything that you liked about Star Wars. I made everybody, like, I killed all the weird characters that were like quirky little side characters and mm-hmm. like one like shot in the blaster. I made all of these like things that you thought were like going to be cool or mm-hmm. like little storylines that you thought were going
to
happen.
Things to enjoy. Right.
Yeah.
They're gone.
They're gone. Like, mm-hmm. you know, Knights are in. Who the fuck are they? Who the fuck cares? That's like, he just like, it, right. he literally made the movie and then he just made a movie that ended Star Wars. Like, it felt like he's just like, that's, and it felt like that was the whole theme of the movie, is like, everything that you liked and expected is dumb and stupid and I'm going to kill it. Like, and I mean, like, that's that he's like I just think the movie was subversive for the sake of being subversive, right. not for like to make it fun or enjoyable to other people
or to make people think in a different yeah. way.
And I mean, I'm all for like bumming out like weird fucking incel nerds who just sit on Twitter and like curse off women, but
yeah,
like this movie, like that's the problem with not liking this movie, and that's like one of my big issues is like, oh, I don't like this movie because like you must hate women or something. Like,
oh,
no,
no,
it's,
no.
That's what it. But it puts me in like the side of like these weird people
that you don't want to be on the side of. Right.
Be on the side right. of. But the movie sucked.
Okay, you were going. Say.
Okay, so
you held back.
That's wrong. he doesn't kill Star Wars. That's crazy. He ends with the little kid like pretending to like have a lightsaber.
But he ends the movie.
Yeah, well, you got to end a movie.
No, he ends the series.
He does not end the series.
He leaves nothing left for you to even think about.
So now the First Order has essentially snuffed out the Resistance. There's this tiny little group right. of Resistance left. Right. So that's just the end of it. The First Order wins.
We're gonna end in slavery for like and the rest of the Republic. They just have like hope.
There's still unfinished ties between Kylo and Rey.
No,
that's true.
They have to go back out and they have to re-recruit everybody and build up a force to fight back against the First Order.
Right.
They're basically showing you that like, there's these other people out there, like this little kid, even like you right. sort of see him use the Force a little bit. They're kind of implying that there's other Force people out there. There's hope in the galaxy again.
So you're tying that to also Rey being kind of a nobody, like hey, right. All right. So quick question for you.
And here, well, I want to address the about him like hating Star Wars because you're talking about the stuff basically Kylo Ren says. I don't think he hates old Star Wars. That's crazy.
He hates old Star Wars. He does not like... Listen, ready? He ended the movie with everybody failing because the whole movie is about fucking failing.
But it's about learning from your failures
yes,
to
and
become
you know
a better
what?
Person.
It, no, it, but
so
nobody,
you can
who became
continue
a better
in your
person?
Adventure.
Like, fucking, that movie is so dumb.
Poe
like,
became
I don't
a better
want
person.
To know about being a better person. I went to go see a Star Wars movie. I want to see people fighting and doing like well, crazy shit. I want to see new stuff. I want to see fun stuff. I want to see character development, but I also don't want to see like weird like strange like 16-year-old sexual tension between a fucking like strange
I mean,
like
Empire Strikes Back was filled with
they
sexual
force
tension.
They force fucked. It was like forced masturbation. It was so
okay.
gross. It's
okay,
the most
okay,
gross
okay.
thing I've ever seen.
But so let's pull that back because how old is Luke and Leia supposed to be?
She's and supposed to be like 16, I think.
Right, and they kiss, and there's clearly a sexual relationship by with the, Han at some point.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, the whole original trilogy is filled with
incest, not incels. Yeah,
yeah. But like, all right, there's a Yeah, there is lots of that, and that kind of energy is fine. But
you can't talk about sexual energy. You can't go back and watch Attack of the Clones and
by the lake on Naboo,
Anakin dry humping Padme for an entire movie.
Oh my god, that's gross.
Please don't look at me like that. Yes. Why not? I'm a senator. It makes me uncomfortable.
I'm a senator.
Exactly. Yeah.
So there's some weird energy.
Yeah.
Everywhere. So here's my question for you, because I want to tie this in. The kid scene at the end, I like that part. The casino scene.
Oh, well, first, before we get into that, I keep getting talked over.
And
I need to get to my point.
Nobody's talking over you.
You're talking about Kylo Ren saying, what you're sort of referencing is Kylo Ren saying, like, kill the past, like, burn it down if you have to. That whole idea is your take that Rian Johnson hates Star Wars and wants to destroy everything that you know. But that's coming from the villain of the movie.
I want to also put this out there. To support your point, I think it's coming from The Force Awakens when he kills his father. When he says, I need, and he basically is like, for me to advance, for me to become the person I want to be, I have to kill my past. And that's him literally killing his father.
At one point during Luke's training, he says, like, what do you expect me to go face down the whole First Order with a laser sword? And then at one point, Rey says something like that she thinks the Force is just moving rocks around. And then at the end of the movie, Luke walks out and faces down the First Order with a laser sword. And then at the end of the movie, Rey uses the Force to move a bunch of rocks. So that I think that the point that, like, destroying Star Wars, I think that's the villain's perspective, and the perspective of the protagonist is that the old thing was good, and they're moving ahead with that in, like, kind of a new way.
Kylo Ren was not the villain of this movie. This movie did not. That's the other problem. The villains weren't well defined. I mean, yeah,
that's
like
a good point. I do think that's a good point.
A weird ginger guy. Yeah, he sucked, and yeah, he was a bad guy.
Right.
But Kylo Ren,
Kylo Ren is certainly there's parts of you that are rooting for Kylo Ren in the movie, and there are plenty of people who want Kylo Ren and Rey to be a thing, you know what I mean, right?
No. Yeah. So gross.
So all right, we're gonna skip ahead here. What is the top best moment in The Last Jedi? The number one moment, best moment overall. Guy, you start.
The title crawl.
I was gonna say, my thoughts on the end of The Last Jedi. This might be the most important title crawl of any Star Wars movie. It's gonna have to do a lot of work to say what's happened and where everything is. Especially if they do as almost every Star Wars movie has done, which is drop you in, you know, like drop you into a scene.
And a big time jump. I feel like there has to be a huge time jump.
From what I understand, there's supposed to be a big time jump, but I don't really know anything.
Yeah, no spoilers on this podcast.
I have no idea.
Yeah. All right, best moment in the movie.
All right, I have two that I can't decide between.
Okay, let's hear it.
They both suck.
The scene where Yoda comes back. When Luke's about to burn down the tree and he's walking up the stairs and you just hear like the music swelling and you see Yoda come across the frame like glowing. I'm getting chills just thinking about it. And I get chills every time I watch this movie. And I get so pumped every time I see Yoda come on the screen.
Yeah.
And just that whole scene with them with like Luke thinks that he's like doing something crazy by burning all this stuff. And then Yoda's like, he hesitates, and then Yoda just brings down the lightning bolt and zaps the tree, and he's just, you know, schooling Luke again.
So real quick, Yoda is a good guy, right? And Yoda is burning the fucking old down because Rian Johnson wants to burn everything good about Star Wars.
He burns the
down.
Tree of
the tree
that's
with
holding
all of
Luke
the,
back.
No, he burns the tree filled with the Jedi.
But he doesn't.
It wasn't.
So the meta reading, you know, is that the attachment to this physical symbol of the thing is not what it's about. It's the ideas that can't be burned down. Am I right about that, Sean? Yeah.
And that wouldn't be destroying Star Wars, in my opinion.
He wanted to destroy Star Wars.
Okay. That seems that's in contention. What's 1B?
1B is right after Kylo slices Snoke in half and the lightsaber flies through the air right into Rey's hand. And then they just fight all the Praetorian guards, and that scene is sick.
Good battle scene.
Great battle scene.
Okay. What do you think of that one?
I mean, it's okay. It was like an okay battle scene. I wasn't like hugely into it. Like, I just didn't like their weapons. I mean, at that point in the movie, I was just so bummed out. Like,
what I wish I was more invested in the death of Snoke, because I liked the visual of it. I actually really liked the visual, and I thought they set it well, and I thought you could kind of tell something was about to happen.
I just didn't know anything about this guy. He dies. Was he the real? He wasn't even the bad. That's what I mean. Who is the fucking real villain in this movie? Right. It is that, because you're rooting for guy.
Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
But then the red hair guy is working for Kylo Ren by the end.
Yeah, like that's the and only bad guy. Yeah, right. So I spent the movie we spent the whole movie finding out that Kylo Ren is actually the bad guy, and then I'm just like,
maybe it's a movie that makes you think more about
it's a movie what's that's going trying on to be than subversive just a movie
that tells you subversive. This is the bad guy that you should hate. There's a lot more gray to this movie than most of the other movies, and that's kind of an interesting aspect. I did not come
to see gray.
Who is so through the first two of this trilogy, Force Awakens and Last Jedi, who is the central character?
Well, I mean, there kind of really Rey is or guess is it Kylo? Would be Rey. I mean, you can make the argument either way.
Yeah, because it's not Finn, it's not Poe, it's not Luke. You know,
no, it's definitely not.
It's Rey and Kylo's love story. That's what it is.
It might turn out to be, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
It's gross. The way they made it look.
What's gross about it?
Do you like Adam Driver? Is he a good-looking man? No. He's all right.
I mean, he's fine, but it's just like...
good shape.
Was he? He looked like kind of like a kind of like building like, blocks. Like
yeah, square. Like mega block. Like, but he was like... Yeah. He was like... undefined thick. Not pudgy, no soft, but still had that thick. There was no definition.
But it was gross.
I think that if you think that that's gross, them touching hands, you're bringing some of your own weird stuff to this movie.
I'm not bringing any of my weird stuff.
There is a weird sexual tension, I'll give you that, but I mean, it was the most innocent.
Innocent, ready? Do you want to see two 16-year-olds like discovering each other's bodies? Like, do you want to watch that?
They're not 16.
Listen, I know, but the way that they acted, the way they talked, the way they presented themselves, the way the movie was written, they're fucking 16, and they're just like, ooh, let me touch your dick.
So let's pivot. The difference between the Kylo Ren, like, it seems like they discarded Finn and Rey as a potential romantic thing, which on rewatch of The Force Awakens, I was like, oh yeah, this is pretty thick. Like
at least on his side.
On his side, for sure.
But she does show him affection. She shows compassion. Couple of scenes.
Yeah.
Right before she goes onto Snoke's ship, she tells Chewie to tell Finn something. I don't know that they ever tell you what she says to say to him. You know that he is about to abandon ship to go find her.
Mm-hmm.
I think she asks about Finn at another point in the movie also. So I mean,
the whole thing felt like they were pivoting through Last Jedi away from that, and I mean, then bringing Rose in as a secondary character for Finn to kind of have that more interactions.
And
with.
I think that's kind of one sided. Also, you know, it seems like Rose has more feelings for Finn. Like Finn
certainly
still seems like he mostly just cares about Rey. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you could ship Rey and Kylo, but I think that there's still room to ship
the Finn Rey thing,
okay, which might be a better thing considering that Kylo is kind of a genocidal maniac.
So who would you rather, if this was going down, Finn and Rey or Kylo and Rey?
I guess Finn and Rey, but it's still like,
you're still like whatever about it. Think of the original trilogy, do you appreciate the Han and Leia dynamic?
Oh yeah, I loved it, but they didn't they literally didn't force it into you. Like, they didn't, it wasn't like they didn't put anything in on display. It just kind of like it felt natural. It just happened. I mean, yeah, Han was a little like, you know, brash and like,
well, that was part of his character development too, was that kind of smarmy like ladies dude.
Yeah. Nobody in these movies has any kind of charm at all.
Poe does, but they haven't explored that at all with him.
No.
Which was probably a smart choice, because then he would have been dead on beat for beat Han, You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if he started trying to hit on Rey, all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, I get it.
Like I don't care about any of the characters in this movie. Like none of them are good. Like all of them are
I care about Rey a lot.
I like Rey. I like Rey, and I
think her introduction in Force Awakens is one of the best Star Wars moments. Yeah. Her scrapping, her in the thing. That was
putting
the
helmet on in the AT-AT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great.
Daisy Ridley's acting is incredible, too.
Fantastic. She's great.
Like, one of my favorite scenes is when, I know the gross thing when Luke drinks the green milk from the Thalos iron. But just like, when, like, she, because, you know, she's a person that grew up on this desert, like, dump for mm-hmm. her entire life, and she sees this creature and she's just got this awe in her face for the first time she's ever seen this like majestic being, and then Luke squeezes milk out of its teat. And
I think this is the first time someone called that a majestic being as well.
Right? Well, because they look cool at first, and then you like...
then you see the 18 titties?
Yeah. And then he drinks this gross milk and looks at her, and her face just turns from wonder to disgust, and it's really...
I think Mark Hamill deserves. Job. I think he deserves most of the work. That face he makes after drinking.
He was incredible. Mark Hamill.
He's a great actor. Yeah.
He's incredible.
Doesn't get enough work.
All right, so guys, this one's for you.
Yeah.
What is the absolute worst moment of the movie?
Oh, the mutual masturbation part. Okay. The grossest thing I've ever seen. It's like adolescent, like touch. Like nobody wants to see that. Nope. Everybody goes through that phase, and it's like real awkward. What? And you're just like. No. Whatever.
I can see you. Yeah. Can you see me?
Yeah. Oh, God. And it's so fucking gross. And, like, he just, like, I don't want to see that again. Like, I'm not watching this movie. Like, I don't want to watch a movie.
Not
like
watching that. It 46th time.
Yeah.
But they were just touching hands.
No, like, they weren't just touching hands. Sean, everything about that scene was about that. It was, like, this energy. They were
sure.
Like,
look, he's seen a lot of mutual masturbation porn. Okay. Listen, he knows how it goes.
Every one of them is the same. They start off with, like, you know, forcing things and then touching and then, oh, God.
Okay. What was the worst moment of the movie?
Probably the Hux joke at the beginning.
Really, really rough foot to start on.
Yeah. That, when I first saw it, that really took me out of it and I was like, here we go. But then I got back into it as the movie progressed and I actually really liked it. That part is still very cringy to me.
I think in a fan edit, that part goes.
Yeah, that part goes.
Because the rest of that scene and the setup, I actually really liked. When mm-hmm. when I've isolated, I'm like, yo, I actually can enjoy the part because it's good development for Poe mm-hmm. being this great fighter pilot as he's doing, like, destroying the cannons along the ship. Fantastic open. But the joke is the first, like, it takes you totally out of the movie.
I think it goes on really a little bit too long.
Yeah, like, and it's hard to get back in. It's also an answering machine joke.
Yeah.
That's too grounded in, like, cinema of, that's, like, Earth-based. You know what I mean? Come on.
Very, very, very dumb move. But after that, that scene, that might be, like, that was, like, truly the only time I, like, really enjoyed that movie. like after that, I was like, oh, wow, this is a Star Wars movie. And then, like, then that's when the wheels fell off. Like, it just, like, started getting back. Because, like, I want to see Rose's sister's movie. Like, I loved every part of
that. Oh, that whole part was very good.
So cool.
Yeah.
Just,
the bomb dropping. Yeah, those vehicles
and
were
then
great.
Her, like, sitting there and catching the thing and then blow. Like, I mean.
Because they built to that moment, and you kind of had a feeling that was going to happen. But it's so early in the movie that you feel like it could also not happen. So
She was the most compelling character in the entire movie. Like, 100%. Like, everything she did was...
Rose pales compared to her, in my opinion.
I liked the bombers. The bombers' design was really cool.
Yeah.
And that whole scene was really cool. Just the joke B-wing. I didn't really like.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Also, DJ, the character, I didn't really like, I thought.
Is that the
hacker?
Yeah.
Benicio del Toro. He was taking some wild swings in that, and...
Like, was he a bootleg version of that same character from Guardians of the Galaxy? You know what I mean? Like,
I guess. I don't know.
Why didn't anybody stop him? Why didn't anybody just say, like...
I thought the movie went off the rails with the casino scene into that, because there's certain beats of that I get, but the whole thing felt so... Not heavy. Like, I get what they were trying to showcase.
Right.
That there's a wealthy elite.
Yeah, I like that too. But
right, and I like that part. But I thought the scene just didn't land in this way that you know, like you talk about the Mos Eisley Cantina and all that. Mm-hmm. Like that comes off and they're like, oh, that was essentially a throwaway scene.
Yeah.
But that led to this huge lore. The casino scene. Yo, I love casino movies. That was the worst executed casino scene I've ever seen in my life.
I think if it
and was, it had potential to be something great.
Like a different movie. I really liked Canto Bite, the location and the characters and what they were doing there. I didn't like that as a plot point, because that was the only thing that kind of didn't make a lot of sense in this whole story.
No, that's not true. Yeah,
at it all. Had this weird failed caper vibe that I just didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't think
like
it
I think okay, if you want to do the thing with, you know, hacking into the Imperial ship, they probably should have just, you know, gotten onto like a little pod and like flew over there, like had like some kind of hacker already in the resistance, like them going to Lightspeed to some other place to go find a hacker to bring back to go hack into the.
It's insane. Like everything you're describing is just like the like so unbelievable that it makes the movie bad. It is not a good movie if you can cut 45 minutes off of the movie.
That's just one plot point, and I don't like
it's
that plot
one
point.
Giant.
So, no, I wonder about the runtime of that whole thing.
It was a very long movie, so you probably could have chopped that whole
thing. Let's say that's 15 minutes of screen time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I feel like it would have been better.
Because with the amount of leaps that you have to do to make that believable, you could just have made the same kind of leaps to say, all right, we have a hacker on our ship. We already know how to do this. Let's just go,
it's not believable.
You know, hack.
Like, and I think
and
about
you
it.
You could have still had the Holdo plot.
Yes.
Like, because
it stretched the Holdo plot out a bit in a weird way.
Right. Because you didn't.
Almost unnatural.
All you need to have for the Holdo plot is that Poe is doing something against her orders. So yes. Just sending them out to go to the ship would be going against her orders.
Yep.
So to have them go to Canto Bight, I think that there's a lot
and
of
get
ideas
jailed
in this movie.
And this and that, yeah. This and that, yeah.
I think he was going for a lot of ideas, and I do like the idea that there's these rich war profiteers that are making money off of both sides, and like, is it really good to join?
Oh, right,
because,
okay. So, and you could, in highlighting that a little bit, but here's the thing. Who do you remember from Canto Bight? And you're a big fan. So I remember the hacker they were actually trying to find who was at mm-hmm. the whatever craps table or whatever fake.
Yeah.
What's the card game in Star Wars?
Sabacc.
Sabacc, yeah. I remember him, but they had an opportunity to showcase so much more.
Right.
There's no toys, any of the casino scene people.
Mm. I did like the little guy putting money into BB-8, who was also voiced by Mark Hamill.
Here's my question for both of you. Guy, I think I know your answer anyways. If you literally just cut that out, does it really take away from the movie?
I don't think so. I mean, I think you could have the same movie without that scene.
Yeah, like, I agree. And that's the hard part for me. I guess that was sort of... Do you guys think it was supposed to be important to Rose's character development and her arc and her kinship with...
I think it may have been to like show Finn something, because Finn is a character that has no perspective on the world other than being a stormtrooper. And so that aspect of it, I think, is good for Finn. I think Rose's character, probably unnecessary, even though, you know, she's fine. Like, I don't dislike Rose, but I don't think that she was necessary to the plot in any way.
There's so much of this movie that is unnecessary. That's the problem with
but,
the movie.
No, this is the one scene that I think I don't care about. Like, there's I don't hate Canto Bight. I just, if you say you don't like it because of that, I would say that's fine. You could cut that out of the movie and it wouldn't bother me.
Yeah.
But I think that Rian Johnson wanted to make a point about the war profiteering thing, and that's why that whole scene is in the movie.
Yeah, I wonder if they... I think that's probably exactly what happened, but in my opinion, they should have pivoted and said, hey, if we're going to do this, let's give it the breathing room, the air it needs.
Mm-hmm. The movie would have been 6 hours long.
That's the part. They needed to figure out... It's a lot like a band that everyone comes to practice and like, oh, I've got this part. Oh, I've got this part. I've got this part. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like... Cool. Let's put you play yours first, and I'll go second, and you go third. Fuck. They all sound good, right? And it's the same idea that maybe sometimes when you hear a record or a song, even is a better example. But you hear that song, and you're like, yeah, I mean, I like this part, and this part's not bad, and this part's fine, but I can't, I don't understand how they all go together. Or, and I'm not saying that this movie's totally like that, but it's totally disjointed. Like,
I think that may be the scene that kind of causes that.
Yeah, but, well, because it pulls out the Holdo structure a little more, because so you get into the battle. You have Rey's storyline, which eventually collides with Kylo Ren, and then they split off. And,
which is kind of a mirror of Empire Strikes Back.
Exactly.
You know, but like, see, the problem is that in this movie you have a Finn and a Poe who are both kind of analogs for Han Solo, but
split up, and then you have to divide their stories.
Kind of. So in Empire, and if you think about it, Clone Wars also are both movie, like all Attack three of, the Clones, of these, Attack of the Clones. All three of these movies are middle movies where the main group of characters is split into two directions. So in Attack of the Clones, you have Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker split. Who both go on their thing. You know, Kenobi's doing his clone research and Anakin's protecting the Prince Senator.
Amidah. Yeah.
And then Empire, you have Luke going off to Dagobah, and then you have
Han and Leia going to Cloud City.
Yeah, running from the Empire. And in this one, you have them also do the same. So kind you of have split.
Let's talk about the split. Rey goes to Octu. And then you have, because I want to say Octung, like the fucking U2 record. Then you have Finn and Poe going with Holdo, right? Mm-hmm. And then Finn splits off and does this little side mission. And I think maybe that's, you might be on to something, that little detour really pulls everything out.
Yeah, which is why it's a bad movie. And it kind of distracts a little bit. But they still come back together in the same kind of way where,
they collide.
You know, Luke needs to go back to Bespin to face Darth Vader and to save his friends. Rey has to come back to the fleet to face Kylo Ren and save her friends. Yeah. I mean, in Attack of the Clones,
they all end up in the pit.
In the pit.
With a bunch of clones.
Yeah.
This movie, like, every aspect of it, like boggles my... Like, it's just, like, there's so much stuff that, like, is just made needlessly complicated.
Well, I think that's really the only thing, and I think...
No.
Is part of the reason people have a problem with the Holdo plot line, is because the Canto Bite plot line kind of complicates everything and puts more of a focus on it.
Why isn't she telling anybody what her plan is?
Because she's the commander and she doesn't have
to. She doesn't have to? Like, people should just blindly obey authority?
Well, that's in the military, that's chain of command.
Not even in the military.
I think in any other military.
Yeah, her position in that authoritarian role is supposed to highlight the difference between her and Poe, or even her and Leia, because Leia had that kind of soft spot for the rebellion, like the Han Solo gunslinger type. But, and even for Poe, she, you know, had a soft spot.
But also, this is like, Poe had done a massive screw up in basically the same day. So it's like, you're going to run a mission, get pretty much 75% of your forces at least destroyed in this failed mission, get demoted, and then immediately demand that the new commander, after all the other commanders have been killed, basically because of something you caused, like, let you in on the plan.
What about at least just, like, give some kind of, like, assurance, I have a plan. Like,
trust me.
She literally...
I mean, she basically said that.
No, though. She did not. She, like, literally just, like, brushed him off. And, of course, he's going to fucking panic because he's impulsive. This movie is all about people's failures to do anything right.
Right.
Her failure to give anybody any kind of hope, to the point where Finn and Poe are like, well, we gotta do something. Gotta go to a fucking casino. We have to find a hacker. Let me.
I wish it had just been spliced in movies from, like, you know, Hackers the movie. Like, we found them.
Right, like, I think Canto Bite as its own, in a different movie, might have
here's
been.
The plan.
I don't disagree. I think that there's
we're
a
going to
welfare.
Canto Bite. We're going to go there. We're going to meet this. We're going to meet this hacker dude. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to help us. He's going to come with us because we have money. No, we don't have money. We have, what do we have?
Well, their whole plan is not thought out well. That's the point.
We have my cool necklace.
We have a cool necklace. Yeah, that's going to, all right, yeah, so we're going to get this guy. Oh, wait, that guy doesn't, we got stuck in the side there. So we're going to go to this other, like, weird fucking dude who is clearly, like, not on the up and up, who's in a prison cell with us, who could get out at any time he wanted to, but but decided to stay there. Like, and then we're going to go, and we're going to go with him to the enemy ship, and we're going to get on there somehow, like, with some cloaking, whatever. They did. They made it work out.
It was a dais. He just showed up with the ship.
Yeah, they showed up with the ship. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to, like we're going to put our droid in a garbage can and have him run around, and then we're going to, like, you know, sneak up into, like, their, like, tracking system somehow. Like, that's not guarded very well. Oh, wait, no. This was all, like, a stupid, like, I mean,
well, it then, fucking sucks. Phasma just agrees to drop the shields.
Jesus Christ.
When she is a high-ranking official.
That's Force Awakens, though.
Oh, that's Force Awakens. You're right. Damn. Okay, so what's the shield? Oh, no. What's
the... It's their tracking system, because they can track... They can track through...
They have to track...
That's right.
Here's the thing, though. Like, they'll get enough time to jump to jump. And then... they'll just be able to track them again. Does not the fucking matter. Tracking, it is the least thought out. Like, here's my problem. It's like they're making a point to saying that Poe's plan was not very well thought out. The real thing, though, that it's showing is how very unthought out their whole fucking movie idea was.
Well, so I want to make the argument. The hyperspace tracking is a cool concept.
Also referenced in Rogue One.
I agree. Like it, too.
Like that tie-in. That said... how do you put that cat back in the bag? Because this essentially makes it so the all-powerful force can, you know, fucking pun, the all-powerful, like, First Order can domineer and track you anywhere through hyperspace no matter what you do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they probably have to, like, maybe, like, be in the line of sight of you at one point.
And Ryan Johnson hates Star Wars, and he's ruining Star Wars, and that's what he's doing. That's what he has done.
I don't think that they could just track any ship through hyperspace if it's somewhere else.
Well, you'd think they have to have some means. They have to at least, maybe not a physical thing, but they have to register their...
Because they showed up there and saw them. They probably locked onto them or something of that nature.
So there's going to have to be some sort of creation in the new movie of somehow... either a plan or technology to avoid this, because otherwise they're fucked. Well, you know, because this is dismantling.
Even gonna, like,
they're not
address
gonna address
it.
JJ,
this is dismantling an even, like, outside of Star Wars, but any space fucking Odyssey movie, like, oh, you jump to hyperspace and you're away. You know, like, it doesn't matter what it is, Star Wars, Star Trek, otherwise. That was the, hey, get out of jail free card. And now that's been checked. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they play that out.
Yeah, and I mean...
if they, like you said, they might just... So, well, what do you mean?
I mean, I'll walk back a little bit at my statement earlier about how there's no plot holes in this movie, because there are obviously a few. And this...
Sure, that's one.
Kind of being one of... Well, kind of because there's been ships being tracked at pretty much every Star Wars movie. They always seem to get a homing beacon onto somebody.
Sure.
So, I mean, you could have just... I don't know. I guess you could send a droid out there to go scour for a homing beacon, but...
I don't think that there is a plot hole in the movie at all. I just think that they're dumb plots. like they just...
Well, they're dumb plots and they're done. At the end of this movie, they're done.
They're done, yeah. And, like, there's nothing, like... It just... The movie... The problem... My huge problem with the movie is that, like, all of the gross stuff, but mostly is that it's a complete movie. It ends... And it ruins everything that I like. Like, it just, like, it's like...
These are the kind of crazy statements.
How are they crazy?
Because how does it ruin everything that you liked? All the other movies that you liked are still there. If you don't like this one as much, you just don't have to watch it as much. It doesn't change anything.
I like Star Wars, and I want to like this movie, but it's so bad that I can't. And, like, I admit, I might be insane. Like, an insane person watches Star Wars.
It just might be a lunatic we're looking for.
I don't think that the prequels ruined Star Wars for me. No. I just don't really like the prequels as much. But
you know what?
So this is leading into this question. So this will be a good... We can continue, Sean, here too. How does The Last Jedi compare to all the other Star Wars material to date? So, Sean, you put it about halfway in your list.
Craziness. Mm-hmm.
You put it at the very bottom of your list.
Yeah.
You appreciate the prequels more so, so why don't you speak on that for a second, Guy?
The prequels, while poorly executed, is a wonderfully crazy like story, but it's like you can watch, you can the way the events lay out and unfold, it's a like political drama that is it's very compelling. Mm-hmm. It was poorly executed, but the story is so good that it's like
the goal of the prequels was basically like, hey, let's give, this is who Darth Vader is. Let's give him a story. Mm-hmm. Now, it would be like if you gave too. A sixth grader the job of like scripting it yeah. and saying, okay, you're going to write right. all the dialogue for this movie.
Well,
but the story yeah, beats it, are pretty good.
You know, because George Lucas directed the first one, but then he didn't direct Empire or Return of the Jedi.
And he didn't write Empire.
No, it was Lawrence Kasdan, I think, wrote both of them with maybe some other people write. But then he went back and directed all three of the prequels. And I don't think that George Lucas is a great director of people. From what I understand from interviews and things like that, he doesn't really direct action very well. He'll basically be like, all right, that was great. And won't make people do a ton of,
great ideas, though.
No, well, and I think you nailed something really well. He directed the prequels. And I watched this whole thing about the making of the Phantom Menace. If you go on YouTube, there's some pretty fantastic Star Wars content there. But a 40-minute documentary about it, and it was like, hey, if you watch this, the people around George at that point were so in awe, and there was not really that push-pull of creativity. And hey, George, people don't actually talk like this. Yeah, which is
who's
what
gonna tell George Lucas?
Which is what Harrison Ford told him through the original movies, and then the first movie. Harrison Ford was a little older than Mark Hamill or Carrie Fisher, and from what has always been said in the lore of this is that Ford kind of set the tone, was like, hey man, people don't talk like this, I'm going to say it like this, okay?
Yeah. Well,
and he kind
of the I love you I know was born out of that, and George Lucas hated it.
So all of that is kind of to say, I don't think the prequels had much ad-libbing. I think there was a lot of script.
Yeah, and
as opposed to the original,
wasn't
kinda,
great. And no,
because it does not
written
sound,
by George Lucas.
It sounds like insane and people like it. I mean, a sixth grader is talking.
Attack of the Clones is really basically bad. My exhibit A of how you can't say that The Last Jedi is a worse movie than that, because
I can.
It's, I mean, there's sort of an interesting plot there.
It's
like,
a very interesting plot.
But
George Lucas wrote all three, and wrote and directed all three of the prequels.
Yeah.
So
he wrote, he scripted them too. Yeah. Which really.
So you could say you hate Canto Bight, or you hate the Hux joke at the beginning, but more than the droid factory on Geonosis, where C-3PO gets his head put on a battle droid's head and they're running around. And
Yes, I can.
So here's the reason.
Dex's diner and...
Yes, that. Yes, he scratched his ass with one of his six arms.
He scratches it.
Sebulba,
Padme, Queen Amidala getting her shirt ripped by a monster into a weird crop top.
I never noticed that.
That was perfect.
Great
point. It's like a perfect crop top cut across her shirt. There's so much insane stuff that happens in this movie. They basically say, oh, some weird Jedi that we don't really know came to this planet and conscripted this entire clone army, and then basically the entire Jedi Council is like, okay, let's go with that. Let's just use this army to fight our war, even though we know nothing about them or why they were created
because
or where they got the money from.
They had to. It was the – they didn't – Sean. At that point, there was a full-fledged war that they couldn't handle. They couldn't use the Force anymore to tell what was going on. They said it in the movie, and they were like, and they believed that the who was the guy that did it? The Jedi. It wasn't Count Dooku. It was another guy. Anyway,
Count Sifo-Dyas or Jedi Sifo-Dyas.
Sifo-Dyas. Who wasn't Count Dooku? It was a different.
It was Darth Sidious.
Darth Sidious was Sifo-Dyas.
Well, no, that was the that's the theory. So the, do you know the whole story behind the Sifo-Dyas thing?
No.
That theoretically it was just a typo in the script because Sifo-Dyas and Sidious are about the same. So I, then it necessitated the need for a new character. Oh, Jedi Master Sifo-Dyas. He's been dead for ages.
Yeah. Either way.
But pretty much like the entire movie is filmed on a green screen. There's no locations in that movie whatsoever.
It's still better because like the amount of crazy shit that happens in it and the amount of terrible things that happen in it are like equal to the amount of terrible, stupid things that don't make sense in The Last Jedi. And the thing is, Sean, like, I did not expect as much. After I saw, like, The Phantom Menace, I didn't expect right. anything good.
Somebody like, tried to sell Obi-Wan Kenobi death sticks.
Yes.
And he used the Force to tell him to rethink his life.
Yes, I know.
I don't want
to
sell you death sticks. So here's the deal. Attack of the Clones is the only movie on my list that I put below Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
I think Phantom Menace, though very flawed and pretty bad.
Phantom Menace. I want to like Phantom Menace, but it's a rough one.
Just over Last Jedi because of a few tracks. And I have to say that having a small child has enabled me to appreciate those movies a little differently.
Darth Maul was a legitimately good bad guy.
Darth Maul was a good bad guy. When you rewatch and see the stuff that Palpatine is doing, the machinations are there. The filming is, it's like the inversion of Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Last Jedi is so beautiful. I think it's all really well done. Honestly, the scripting and the way the actors perform and deliver dialogue, it might as well be a different fucking, like, this is not the same species of movie. This is like Last Jedi, people speak like they would in, for the most part. There's a couple actors who I think are, but Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones are really rough on the performance end because it's just so flat. You have a few good performances. I think McGregor and Liam Neeson are good.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't mind anyone saying Last Jedi is better than Phantom Menace or Attack of the Clones. Revenge of the Sith, to me, is based purely on story, better than Last Jedi.
Yeah, 100%.
Not hard to
argue. That movie has problems too, though.
Yes, they all have problems.
Like Darth Vader yelling no.
That was added in.
Here's the main, like my main problem with the last, like I have a lot of main problems with The Last Jedi. Yes, it sucks. But like these movies, the prequels are better because they are adventure movies. They are filled with like action. They don't bore the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, yeah, the Attack of the Clones has a lot of things that bore the shit out of me, actually.
Yeah.
But not, like, I care about the characters just a little bit more.
Right. Even though I think the performances are worse, the dialogue is much worse.
Somehow
I still care about the characters more. And maybe that's off legacy and knowing where they were going. That might be part of it. So here's my question.
Because if you were going to say it's like an adventure movie, I would say The Last Jedi is mostly like Empire Strikes Back.
No, The Last Jedi is
How is The Empire Strikes Back more of an adventure movie than The Last Jedi?
How? What do you mean how? There's freaking all kinds of things.
It's kind of
so the asteroid.
It's not
field.
As beat for beat as no, Force Awakens is, but it is still Rey goes and trains, Luke goes and trains,
right?
And Finn.
You could draw parallels between the trip to Cloud City and the trip to Canto Bight.
They both have a Walker battle.
Yeah, but it's not there. The movie is not. The characters are not like interesting or compelling. They're just there. The constant theme and slam, like the thing that Rian Johnson is slamming into our heads about failure and people are old and killing the dead, like, and killing the old and all that stuff. It, like, anything you like is like stupid now. It comes.
So you're offended because you're offended by this. So we know that. We're going to touch on this real quick, Sean. What is the climax of Last Jedi? Because the climax of Empire Strikes Back is
probably the Luke Vader battle.
Right.
So I would say probably the death of Snoke,
they
the
never
battle.
Get
which is so much earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
And I think it throws off the crate battle is not the climax of the movie.
No, but I think
nor is the escape. You know what I mean? Because you could draw parallels between The Escape as well, you know, to the Empire, like getting away. But because Empire, and, you know, the Luke Vader battle and reveal isn't the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. There's still stuff that trails, but you're done. It's like,
yeah, but
I wonder if they reconfigure that movie a bit and have the Snoke battle following the Battle of Crait.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that changes some of the dynamics, but if there's this struggle between Kylo Ren and Rey to close the movie, that changes the way I feel about the movie pretty wholesale. Mm-hmm. So you kind of reconfigure it. Because cause then you're left on this note of like, oh, is Kylo Ren good or bad? And then he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're wondering, where is this relationship in this?
Because they kind of did the opposite almost of Empire Strikes Back. It's like a mirrored like opposite. Because like they start inverted, off with the Hoth battle. But I mean, that was different having a movie start off with a giant set piece battle. That's right. Not usually how things go. It's usually the giant battles at the end of the movie.
And nobody gets the climax. Luke walked in on them.
So is there any other Star Wars material that, for you guys, any other Star Wars material that irks you or bothers you? Because there's been a bunch that's added to it. Okay, what else?
Like movies wise, like
movie. We'll include
in or any just the Last Jedi. Like, I mean,
well, we know Last Jedi as a whole offends you.
Yes,
but let's say any other properties.
Like, I mean, I didn't like the Clone Wars cartoon, the movie, but I mean, like, it was made for kids, right. So like that's fine. The Attack of the Clones was like
that was the worst of these movies.
Very I mean. I really love the story and the idea and the way they put it together to get all to get you to flip sides. I mean, like, to have like the good guys become the bad guys over the course, like in that movie, that's where the flip happens, and like all of a sudden you're like that was like what was great about that movie is that the Jedi's are fighting against all the Geonosians and the Trade Federation.
Sure.
And those guys are the bad guys in that, but they're actually the good guys because they're the systems that become the rebellion. It's just like a crazy bait and switch that like worked so well.
I feel like if you had if they use set pieces and not all green screen,
gosh,
you had someone in somebody a script to do a real script for the movie. Some of the mechanics behind both Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, if you had real, like, those movies would be off the charts.
Yeah.
Think if we had a actor that was similar to the Anakin in the Clone Wars cartoon in the movies, it would be incredible.
Hayden's okay. Yeah. I'm not going to get into my hot take that he's actually really good in Revenge of the Sith, but
I don't hate him pretty either.
Good. In Revenge, he's good. In Attack, Revenge, it's rough.
Real hard.
Real rough. Okay.
But I mean, I would say that I, as far as stuff that I don't like, I think most of the movie stuff I like. Solo, I think, gets kind of a raw deal in all this because
I'm moving Solo up above the prequels because it was pretty phenomenal.
It's
actually
a good movie.
People have a lot of problems with like the prequel-y kind of stuff that happens in Solo, but it's really not that much. There are a couple of cringy things like him like telling Chewie his name is going to be Chewie or
getting his name turning his name to Solo Han Solo.
The fact that the Empire's recruiting station has the Empire's music playing in the background.
Yeah,
yeah, a little hokey, but you know,
it's kind of weird. But if you take all that aside and maybe even just like watch the movie from the point after he joins the Empire and just like cut out the first
start at the scene where he's in the battlefield basically.
Yeah. That movie's awesome. It's like a lot of fun.
A lot of people have funny stuff about it when he's clicks a rock.
Oh yeah.
I enjoy that movie. I enjoy the open. I enjoy that part. I agree. There's a touch of cringe stuff in there. But overall, if anyone takes anything away from this, go watch Solo again. If you haven't seen it at all, that's definitely a very watchable movie.
It's just like a fun kind of action movie, and it's got really awesome lore in there all over the place.
That's one of the things that I like about Solo.
Woody Harrelson is great.
Woody Harrelson's great. Yes. Just like the weird artifacts and stuff that you can find in there, the different references to different characters is really cool.
It's dripping in it, but it's not forced in your face, no, which is a really nice touch.
Kind of like like in Rogue One, which I love, but when, you know, Dr. Evans and Ponda Baba show up on on Jedha and they basically say the line that they're famous for,
yeah,
it's like, why are these to, I mean, it's great seeing them, but why are they here?
Just leave it. Just
so, like, Solo does that kind of stuff in a better way, where they kind of, you know, the Darth Maul reveal was
great. Yes,
yes, insane. I love that.
And I love the way that they connected it with all the cartoons. So if you are somebody that is heavily involved in all the tertiary material, it really pays off in a huge way.
And if you enjoy Rogue One or Solo, the Clone Wars and Rebels series are
Rebels cartoons incredible. I put that in my top list. Over a lot of these movies, if I had to.
Also, but another reason to not like The Last Jedi is what it did to Solo.
It undercut it, took the legs out from it.
I wouldn't blame that completely on The Last Jedi. It definitely had something to do with it. There was the hate of Last Jedi, but also the fact that it came out probably 6 months after The Last Jedi.
6 months, yeah.
I don't think that it got the advertising weight behind it.
Yep. Because The Last Jedi was terrible.
I don't think that they had the faith in the movie.
Have the faith in the movie because The Last Jedi was showing them how
they also had so many changes.
The production stuff with changing the directors. I think that they were just cutting their losses on it, basically, and just throwing it out there and not really pushing it.
I think it's going to age really well when people actually watch it because it is a good movie.
They should have pushed that movie back a year or something like that and let it be on its own. Let it not be. I think it was wasn't it in the shadow of
Avengers Endgame?
Yeah, Endgame. Or was it Infinity War?
It was maybe Infinity War because Avengers Endgame came out.
I remember it was the same weekend as a huge movie, or basically like a week after, where everybody was still going to see Infinity War.
They moved it up because The Last Jedi did not do as well. They basically tanked it on purpose because they just didn't want it to get the press of like, oh, here's another Star Wars movie that sucks. Like that, they were afraid of the production, but they were more afraid of getting more hate because The Last Jedi was so fucking terrible.
But I think it kind of like screwed a little bit the, you know, the side movies from because they had a whole slew
and they kind of mixed them all.
They were definitely setting that up to be at least a trilogy.
And
it
I think
that's so cool.
It would have been really cool. I hope they revisit the idea because
maybe they'll make it a TV show. Oh my gosh, I love what they're doing with the TV.
Yeah, I agree. So, all right, final question, and then we'll kind of close this out. Has this impacted your excitement for Rise of Skywalker, Guy?
Yeah, it has. It's made me not as like. I'm excited to see Rise of Skywalker. I really want to see it, but it's not like I'm more excited to see the new Mandalorian episode tonight. I'm more excited to rewatch Rebels than see
the new movie.
Like, I just feel like there's so much other stuff from Star Wars. Like, I'm just worried about every aspect of this movie coming out. I'm worried that J.J. Abrams is like going to take all the fan hate. Because, like, really what they should probably do is, even though I hate this movie, they should probably just continue with the story and just try to
figure out how to make it better. Don't discard it. Figure out how to.
But I feel like because this is just J.J. Abrams' like mode. He's just going to like go in and fucking ruin everything by bringing back other things. I mean, when I heard that the Emperor was in it, I wasn't excited about it. I was just so like, oh, what the fuck are you doing now?
Yeah.
Fuck you, Ryan Johnson.
Sean, has it impacted your excitement for Rise of Skywalker?
Last Jedi didn't. I liked the way Last Jedi ended, and afterwards I was excited for whatever was going to happen next, and I have been for a while, except until recently when all this kind of flared up again and with a couple of, you know, different people making statements to different like press outlets. I think J.J. Abrams said something about how like people don't always like when you subvert their expectations, or he made I think John Boyega said some stuff about how he didn't really like the way The Last Jedi went, and I don't really like, I mean, a lot of the stuff gets played up by these news outlets to make it more than it is,
more salacious,
but I don't really like the idea that, that these people behind the Rise of Skywalker don't like The Last Jedi. Because when The Last Jedi first came out, you had J.J. Abrams saying stuff like he wished he had this script because it's such a great script and he really wanted to direct it. And, you know, they say all like this great stuff about
right.
it. Then a lot of the hate comes out and now they're kind of like walking some of this stuff back like, oh, well, people weren't happy with this movie. If you tell them, nothing matters. And you're kind of like... It seems to me like they're signaling to the people that that hated The Last Jedi that
come on back,
you right. know. But there are a lot of people that did like The Last Jedi.
Sure.
So I mean, they gotta like thread this line of not offending the people that liked The Last Jedi, but trying to get back the people that didn't like The Last Jedi. And
it's kind of saying what Guy said about like. Look, I'd rather they continued with what they were working with Last Jedi right. and try to shape it in something better as opposed to, yeah, just discard and pretend X didn't happen and Y didn't happen and Z didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You got to like continue these stories.
I mean, I would have liked to have this discussion after seeing The Rise of Skywalker just to know where they
We can relitigate.
Because my biggest sucks. Thing is... I'd like to see where the whole thing goes as a whole before making any kind of judgments, but yeah,
that's not how a movie works.
But I'm not crazy about how this whole thing played out.
Yeah.
You know, because you would think that spending all this money on Star Wars and having all these pretty bright people involved with it, you would have a plan from episode you know, 7 to episode 9 of what the story is going to be. And having different directors come in and like, oh, this director is going to do this thing, and then this director is going to do this thing, and then this director is going to do this thing. And I know that that's the way they did it for the original trilogy to a certain extent, but it was really based
on... Still had the hand of George Lucas on top of it.
Yeah. So, like, now you're letting different creative people have their different creative visions, and that's fine if it's individual movies, but when you're trying to plan out a whole trilogy, to not have, like, kind of a plan in place seems crazy to me.
I should have reined Ryan Johnson in. They should have reined him in immediately.
Everybody was on board with
it. I think it's going to be...
Before everybody started hating on it.
I think it's going to be an interesting... I think exactly what you said is right. I think the idea that they should have had a singular voice in lead on this trilogy and the decision to have somebody else direct and really take full lead on Last Jedi, and especially now that the third Rise of Skywalker is going back to J.J. Abrams, there's going to be kind of this inconsistency, this incongruity that neither of the prior trilogies in this trilo trilogy, you know, like
I'd like them to followed, not have to know? Walk back anything
because it was like George Lucas, but then he had a couple guys under him, and then George Lucas.
Yeah,
strictly.
Because there's and always going to be this cloud
Abrams,
over everything.
Ryan Johnson, J.J. Abrams.
Yeah. There's this cloud of, like, is this the way it's supposed to be, or is this because of the fan backlash? And
I don't believe they had a plan from the beginning.
I mean, the thing, and if Patrick was here, shout out to our buddy Patrick. He would tell you, and I know this too, and I agree, and it's unfortunate. Products like this, you would think that there's this grand scheme. So infrequently is that true. And you know, and you, I know you know this too. The original plans for Star Wars, George was a big picture thinker, and he did have things laid out. But a lot of it changed in motion.
He only had two movies planned out originally,
right? And then lots of details are different, and then it changes. And you know, Game of Thrones is a great example of this. Mm-hmm. George R. R. Martin has everything thought out to where it's written out.
Yeah.
After that, it's kind of like, well, here's my big beats. I don't know where it's going to get. And we saw that, like. Honestly, and I want to connect back to Star Wars here, but Game of Thrones, I loved up until the last season, just undercut all my interest in the
Once
whole show.
They ran out of the original source material, they, you know, it kind of went from a show that was very unpredictable and very interesting and different to a show that was very predictable.
Yeah,
and
like an NBC show should just be put on regular TV.
But so
that's where the Marvel movies have such an advantage. Like
it's just a dearth of back material. That
well,
they can
that and they've just been on a steady, continuous storyline for like 20-something movies, and it's really crazy.
Yeah, we're
able to pull this off.
We're going we're going to be approaching 15 years soon.
Yeah, because I mean, crazy. Star Wars, you had like the first three, and then they go back, and then it goes into the future, mm-hmm. and then some of these prequels are going back in, like Solo. So it's like very convoluted and hard to follow unless for any normal person, but unless you're like heavily invested in all the side material and
so we're all of an age. You guys went and saw Phantom Menace when it came out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Same. Skipped school. Me and Andy. Rad day. When I saw it, I remember the whole theater. We were like, yeah. Because we're just so excited to be in the theater seeing a Star Wars movie. This is a brand new Star Wars movie. First time in our lives. And we're all kids who grew up on it. After the initial excitement wore off, and then we realized that pod racing was fucking shitty.
What did we just watch?
After the, you know, and you rewatch it and then get the DVD. The Attack of the Clones was not nearly as exciting. Like, the excitement for it wasn't the same as the excitement for Phantom Menace. I still went and saw it, of course. And, you know, same, you know. And even Revenge of the Sith, which I, you know, like, you knew the name, the way they marketed it. Everyone knew this is where shit's going to go down, and here's where Anakin Skywalker becomes Darth Vader. Let's see it. And I don't think that story had really been told in full to that point.
Mm.
So it was, like, amazing. But the excitement, the shine had worn off. And did The Last Jedi, do you feel like the controversy of it, the back and forth, Sean, or just the general about the movie has impacted this trilogy the way the shit quality of the prequels impacted that trilogy?
I think it's been maybe
because Force Awakens, people were excited.
Yeah.
It was like a new wave, and it was like...
It was fun, too.
And it was fun, and it was kind of like, hey, there's this new thing, and all these new characters, all these new pieces in the sandbox, which I think is another is an underrated element of all this, is that people like these new characters. Mm-hmm. I was let down by Last Jedi because I wanted to know more about Rey's parentage, and when it was like, it's nothing, it's meaningless, I was like, oh, that sucks. I was kind of interested in that segment of this character I like. Mm-hmm. When Snoke was disposed of, I loved the moment... But I was also interested in this larger-than-life character who appeared to be a very powerful Force user. So there were all the Knights of Ren just being MIA. I was excited about them, and they had this moment in a flashback scene. And, you know, from the trailer, you're going to see them in Rise of Skywalker.
Right.
So, again, I like your point. I'll reserve judgment on the whole thing. But there's an element to this, to me, that... Some of the excitement on this new bin of toys was worn away by Last Jedi. It's brevity in a few of these thoughts.
I think that, like some of those points I would say, though, like in the original trilogy, you don't know anything about the Emperor and he just gets killed.
Right.
You don't find that out until the prequels.
Yep.
So, I mean, they could make a whole trilogy about the backstory of Snoke.
But absolutely.
I didn't think he got any worse of a shake but than the Emperor did.
They killed the main bad guy in the last movie. Like, it's a huge... Like, that is the most fucked up thing. There's so much wrong with the
last... So you don't know what the next movie is going to be, though. But, we have the benefit of knowing...
It's not that we don't know what the next movie is. They made a movie that ended the series. Like, essentially, The Last Jedi was a last movie of the series. But that's the problem.
It's not, though.
It's not. That's the whole thing, Sean. It's not. But they made it like it was. They killed off all the interesting mystery. They wanted it to end. They ended anything. The only things that you have that there is no mystery. There isn't any mystery. There are things you want to know about, like how does the Republic, like, or how does the Resistance rebuild? How's this? But there is no mystery because they got rid of all the mystery. They took away all the mystic, interesting things out of the movie. It sucked away. Like, now, the things that are happening in the next movie, I'm worried about because it feels like they're going to have to, like, crowbar them into the movie because they took all of it away. Anything that you were excited about, wanting to see in the next movie, they got rid of.
Well, here's the hope. The hope is that they navigate that in a way that's not crowbar.
Well, they've set up...
Because it's going to be tough. I agree. I'm with you. Because, like... They're going to have some sort of a nominal pivot to go, hey, you know that thing that happened in the last movie? Well, you know.
I mean, they've set up Kylo Ren to be the big bad guy, so to say that there's no bad guy. That's
but he wasn't the big bad guy though.
But like, he is now.
But Darth Vader, think about this: Darth Vader was the big bad guy, but he wasn't. He was always subservient, and he was presented as such. Even in New Hope, it was like, oh, you've got your, you know, you're holding Vader's leash, and da da da. Even though Vader was clearly the bad guy, he was always subservient. But we all look back, and Vader was that.
You have Kylo Ren who's just progressing more and more towards, you know.
But he's not, and like the I've been saying he, like, Rian Johnson was subversive for the sake of being subversive. It wasn't like there was no real good reason to do what he did. There was no good reason. But that's
the way he is as a filmmaker, though. So if you know, you don't want that sort of thing.
A ton of his movies,
every single one of his movies, though, it's like layers of things that make you think in a different way.
Actually. You're right. I don't want that kind of filmmaker for my Star Wars. I absolutely have no interest in having that in Star Wars films. I didn't want it in the first place. I didn't want his bullshit subversion. I didn't, because he made a bad movie. And he took Star Wars and he made it some, like, fucking weird thing that he wanted to make it and not something that everybody could enjoy.
But every artist is going to make the art for themselves.
There is. It's cool to make art for yourself and to be an artist, but, like, your Star Wars is not just art. It is entertainment. There's a difference between art and entertainment.
So here, let's talk about that then. So do you think that his form of this movie is something that someone could enjoy, just not you? Or do you think it's bad art?
Because I enjoyed it.
I don't believe you.
I know. This is the refrain he goes to. He's like, Sean knows too much to like this.
It's not.
So like, here, I'm gonna. You answer this question, then I got a good one for you.
All right.
Do you think it's just so bad that no one could enjoy it, or do you think that the way he executed it was offensive to your sensibilities?
I think that it is not a good Star Wars movie.
Right.
I think that is the thing. If you are a fan of Star Wars, there is not a way that you could really truly enjoy this movie at a fan level, at a Star Wars level.
Okay.
I think that it does too much to hurt Star Wars, and just for the sake of shock value or making you
subversion, like, subversion. Yeah.
It does all of that. Yes, I think that some people can like it. I mean, not Star Wars fans. I know people that aren't Star Wars fans that love the movie.
Right.
And I
know I also think it's an interesting one, because could you drop a non-Star Wars fan in, not having watched Force Awakens or any of the other movies, and go, here's Last Jedi, enjoy? Like, and I, you could say that about a lot of movies in a sequel, you know. It's like saying, hey, could someone watch three episodes of season 4 of Game of Thrones and be like, this is great, or be like, who are all these people?
I think you can definitely drop someone in and watch this movie and not knowing, like,
and have a good time.
And they could, if they never saw a single Star Wars movie before, they would be fine with this movie, because it completes it. It very much makes sense. Not have a lot of holes in it. It is in that terms, it is a complete product. Whether it's good or not is debatable, but I think you do that. I think if you change the whole setting of the movie, if you just put it into, like, real world, like, into the real world, you probably could have the same movie. You could set it in a fucking high school, because, like, that's what it is.
I just think, as, like, an artist, I think that, you know, people have their own idea in their head about what the movie is going to be.
And expectations of art are such a thing.
Yeah. Right. And what's worse, an artist creating art that he wants, that, like, this is a guy that, like, he's got his own, like, thing about Star Wars that was meaningful to him, and he created a piece of Star Wars art that he wanted to create. Or are you trying to create something just to make everybody happy?
Don't do it in to which the trilogy.
You have something like The Force Awakens, which I liked, but it had, you know, it, like, they talk about Last Jedi as being kind of a meta movie, but, you know, the Force Awakens, like, everything is about, you know, here's, like, Star Wars stuff. Like, oh, we're back on the Falcon again, and, you know.
I get all that.
Here's the Death Star, but it's not the Death Star. It's way bigger than the Death Star. So that's, like, a very safe movie, and then The Last Jedi is a very different movie. And if it was the only movie that they made, they're like, okay, we're back. After the prequels, this is the first movie we came. this is The Last Jedi, this is what we made. It'd be kind of weird. But knowing that Disney is going to be making Star Wars movies into infinity or until
people literally don't care.
I don't think the water wars happen and we're all just like living in caves or whatever.
I think they will, but they turn the it's like turning the hot water on and you're like, okay, and you just leave it on and it burns your hand and you go, oh, okay, I need to cool it off a little bit.
So I think that in that context, I like that they're going out on a limb and trying different stuff, because if they keep making A New Hope again over and over again, you can't do that.
Well, so that's what I want. I'm looking for more broader types of storytelling in this world. I'd like it. My last question for you, Sean, and then we're going to wrap it up because we've been going for a while now. As a Star Wars fan, is there any part of you that thinks my love of this world and these characters and enjoyment is making me gloss over some of the inherent flaws in this movie?
And
I want to give you credit because you're relatively critical of the prequel movies. It's not like you're like, oh, those are great movies too. You know, you're pretty critical of those.
To a certain extent, maybe, but there are Star Wars stuff that have been coming out that I don't like. Like some of the comic books. I kind of fell off with the comic books because it's kind of a little bit too much to deal with. I have been not reading necessarily. I do have a bunch of the books, but I listen to a lot of the audiobooks because those are fun to listen to because they're basically like weird little audio plays because they have sound design. And
that's cool.
The audiobooks are real fun.
Really? I got to check this.
But there was one that I was just listening to. It's called Galaxy's Edge Black Spire. And I'm like going through this and they're... And I can't decide if it's cool or gross because they go to the Black Spire, which is the Disney theme park.
Okay.
And in the book, as they're going through Black Spire, they go to various places that are in the theme park, like Uga's Cantina and Ronto's Roasters Cafe and the
Docking Bay 94 restaurant. Wings are this price.
Yeah.
What a great deal. Did you see the value menu? Yeah, so it feels a little crass.
On one hand, I'm like, this is a weird, gross advertisement in a novel for a theme park. But on the other hand, I'm like, is it cool that they made a novel for their theme park? Like, that might be kind of cool that they're putting this much effort into the backstory.
It's cool. I'm gonna come down on the side.
You're ruling it's cool.
Yeah,
right.
I'm gonna rule
it.
All right, so cool. I'll keep listening to it.
Seriously, because I watched that documentary on Hulu about just the rides at that.
You're feeling it. You're in.
I was like,
so I mean, they did make a movie about the ride, the Pirates of the Caribbean. And
yes,
they made a
also
movie
down for that movie
about the first movie, Haunted Mansion, and they're gonna be making a movie about the Jungle Cruise. So I guess it's not the most outrageous thing Disney's
What's
done.
What's the tower? The
Secret
Tower of Terror? Is that Disney or is that Six Flags?
That's Disney, but that was...
They're not going to make one about a tower that drops,
well, because
right?
That was based off of Twilight Zone.
Oh, okay.
So right.
Skyscraper, the movie. The Rock was in it. It was great.
So back to your question. Yes. I don't think so because I like this movie better than Force Awakens.
You're wrong.
So I don't think that my love of Star Wars is overcoating it because I just like what they did with the story. And if you... Like, kind of just my biggest gripe about it is like the Canto Bight plot line. I can just kind of block that out and enjoy the other parts of this movie that I really like the Rey training and that sort of thing.
We need to get some audio sound, some sound design with Guy shaking head vigorously. So, well, thank you everybody who stuck with us. This was cool. We love Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm sorry for wasting all of your time.
No, this is fantastic. Hopefully, anyone out there who's into it, enjoy. Have a great night.
Good night.